Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who is navigating a situationship with his ex. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
That's right. We are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love.
I will say that, like, to give ourselves credit, we have both been in situationships with exes before. So we do have some experience there.
Yep. Yes, we certainly do. All right. Today's letter is from Hanging in There Like a Cat on a Poster, which is an A++ name for me, whose pronouns are he, him, who is writing to us from that place where you don't know if you're single or Michigan. You pick. I'm a 34-year-old male currently dating, Maybe not. I don't know. That's the kind of letter this is about, so I won't get ahead of myself. A 36-year-old female, let's call her M. M is great. She's funny, loving, energetic, compassionate, and drop-dead gorgeous in the cute way that makes you want to rub your nose on her nose for no reason. We met what seems like forever ago, working at a brew pub, and I had an instant crush. The type of instant crush that your inner monologue is going, oh no, not only am I sure I've caught feelings, but I'm going to embarrass myself to pursue them. I was in a relationship at the time, so I didn't pursue the feeling too much and let things lie until one day, years later, she slides into my DMs. I was freshly out of a 4-year relationship that I got out of thanks to very directly this podcast, which put me on the path of going for what I really want in life and what I truly deserve. Me and M moved faster than Whitney Houston's career in the late 80s. We fell in love, spent endless nights drinking wine, hitting bars, and having insatiable levels of sex. This past October, we broke up for the second time. The last time we broke up was a year previous and involved arguments concerning triggering relationships we had with mutual friends and the classic who is the real villain here fight. Unfortunately, after all the work we did to come back together and form a stronger relationship after a long night of drinking, when it came up again, I failed to stop myself from losing control over my emotions and my reactions. I yelled and screamed, said things I didn't mean, and broke things. It was awful to feel, and I can't imagine what it was like to experience me like that. Em and I didn't talk for about a month, and in that time, it became abundantly clear that if I was going to get the relationship I've always wanted, I would have to do the hard work of healing my past trauma. I've been in therapy discussing my triggers and thought patterns. I'm grateful, despite how difficult this has been, because it has given me an opportunity to deep dive and change the things I've avoided my whole life. M has her own traumas that have shown themselves in the relationship, but that's another letter. We've since started talking again after leaving each other letters in the classic breakup box exchange. We've spent long nights talking about feelings, and she's made it very clear just how I've broken her trust. We still spend time together drinking wine, listening to music, and having, although less frequent, good sex. We are not back together by any means. I am not interested in pursuing anyone else while I feel so wrapped up in M still. She has expressed taking 6 months to be celibate, and relationship free so that she can focus on herself, her traumas, and her people-pleasing ways. I'm still very much in love with M. I've never been so sure that I want everything from one person. The situation is so precarious because I'm so emotionally involved, but I have very little control for how it plays out. Every day, I show compassion for myself as needed, and in some ways, I'm the strongest I've ever been, but it's so painful not knowing whether it will work out. What should I do? Spending time with M sometimes feels like being on a path towards reconciliation, and sometimes it feels like waiting around to get hurt. I know this is a no answer scenario, but I take it that's most of the letters you read, and God bless you, you read them anyway. Thanks for so much for your time. Wishing you all the best and better than best. Sincerely, Hanging in There.
All right, hanging in there. Thank you so much for writing to us and for asking us this question. I'm so sorry that you're in this like nebulous that you're in this like nebulous gray area with M. And, you know, I appreciate that you are kind of looking back at some of the actions that you took in this relationship and realizing that the work that you needed, or I'm glad that you are looking back at some of the ways that you handled things in this relationship and realizing that you had work to do in order to not behave in patterns that may be of most available to you because of your childhood, and realizing like, oh, if I don't want to yell and scream and say terrible things, then I need to do internal work to figure out how I can regulate, how I can support myself, how I can have more compassion in order to do that. And I really appreciate that you looked at what happened with M and used that as kind of a wake-up call to say, I need to be spending time in therapy. I need to be treating myself and other people differently. I need to be unlearning some of these patterns. You know, I think that this world is full of opportunities for folks to learn different things about themselves and make different choices. And I'm really proud of you for doing that. Even as I think that we can both agree that like yelling and screaming and, you know, breaking and throwing things is not super helpful behavior, even if we're upset. So just want to name that starting off and just send you love and let you know that I appreciate that you're doing that. I just want to say that the situation that you're in, where you're sort of in this like in between nebulous place after a breakup, is, I think, much more common than we talk about. Like, I think that it's like a normal thing that people do. And is it a good thing? I don't know. Like, we can talk about that. But I just want to say that like this like really nebulous in-between space that you're in is so hard to be in. I have been there multiple times in my life, sort of being in a quasi relationship with an ex that where one of us wants something and the other one's not sure, or vice versa. And I just want to name that it's like, it's so hard to do. And it's really easy for Sierra and I to sit outside of a relationship and say, well, here's the black and white, here's the clear edges and boundaries. It's so much harder to do it when you're actually in it, when you're around somebody that you really love and want to be with and don't know if it's possible and don't know how to do it. Like, that is just such a hard place to be in. So our love and our thoughts are with you in this. We also deeply relate to a lot of what you're going through. And we're going to offer some musings. I don't know if we have like a lot of tangible advice for this one, because like you say, it is kind of like a no answer scenario.
Some tangible advice.
Okay, perfect. Sierra's got one piece.
Yeah.
So we will get that to you in just a second after the short break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. All right, welcome back, my darlings. And to our letter writer, I echo all of Sam's sentiments. I think it's such a powerful phrase that Sam used earlier to say that you reach for the patterns that were most available to you, that you had learned in childhood, right? And I love the idea that, like, when we're grasping for tools, when we are emotionally triggered and we want to respond, yes, we will reach out into our psyche and we will grab what is mostly available there, that is most available or the closest or the most well-worn neurological path. And that's why we respond in our trauma, and that's why we respond in our pain and our wounds, is because it's right there, right? And growing and healing, why I love this analogy or this image is, to me, growing and healing doesn't mean that when you're triggered and you reach out for a pattern, that your old patterns are still going to be there. And you have to do the extra work to reach over them, reach beyond them, contort yourself a little to do the new thing, to grab the new response. And that's the discomfort of growth. That's the discomfort of healing and changing, is that you have to reach around your old behavior, right? You have to go above and beyond that to find something new. But you have already seen how worth it is. I love how secure you are in saying, like, even if she doesn't take me back, all of this growth is meant for me. All of this change is worth it. But yeah, you are in a very delicate stage right now. Let's just name that as well. Like, not only, I feel like this letter is about the relationship being in this gray area or ending or whatever. But to me, the core of this letter is, I am in a vulnerable state of growth. I am in a period of discomfort because I am learning more things about myself and I'm learning how to be more truly vulnerable with one another, right? With other people. And I want to name that because that is going to be one of the pillars of my advice or my musings today, is like, you're in a delicate time right now. And yes, you can give and give and give and try to earn that trust back and try to earn that trust back. But you are also trying to unpack some serious shit of your own. You are also in a fragile state right now. And I don't mean fragile like weak. I just mean a lot of your exoskeleton has been taken away. So your like nerves are exposed. I always feel like I feel my most tender when somebody has seen my worst side, or when I'm trying to do better, like I feel the most delicate at that time. So, I want to pull out something you said in your letter. You said, I know I have the capacity to work on trying to get her trust back for as long as it takes, comma. You do. You could challenge yourself to prove her wrong forever. And then you go on to write, but I sometimes wonder if that's the best move. That is your intuition. Like, that is your inner voice saying, I could do this, but something about it is telling me that it's unhealthy. And I'm not saying that this situation you have going on with your ex is unhealthy or bad or wrong. Like Sam said so beautifully earlier, like, we all get in situations like this. Like, we've all been here and we all know why and we all know how complicated it is. But what I think that little voice is telling you is, I feel a little discomfort in this. I could give and give and give and give of myself, but I know from experience that level of codependency, that level of self-sacrifice never leads to something sustainable and good. Like, I feel like there's something like whispering in your intuition that says, you know, I know you want to win her back. I know you want her trust back so much, but something inside you is saying, this ain't it. This is not right. You know, I think about all the times in my life that, like, I bent myself backwards. I bent over backwards trying to, like, prove to somebody that I was lovable, and I didn't listen to the little voice in me saying, I'm not really sure if their love is what I need right now. Right? What you need right now, would her love and her trust feel good? Probably. Yeah. But you've got some other stuff going on, and it's not that they can't happen at the same time. I'm trying to look out for that little chrysalis version of you right now. That's like going through this big emotional transition, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it ties to the idea of like, you know, why are you doing this work on yourself? And is it in order to win her back, or is it to actually like do the work for yourself?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think sometimes we get into this place where it's like, oh, I really fucked up. And now the way that I prove that I have changed or have learned or am trying new things is by like winning the person back who was the reason why I realized how fucked up I was doing.
Right.
Right? Like who helped me, who's like withdraw from me is, you know, was the reason why I sort of woke up to the idea that like, oh, those patterns are really not working, are harmful perhaps, right?
Yeah.
And so to say like, and what will prove that I'm now healed or that I'm doing the right thing or that I'm on the right path is if I can get that person back. And I understand that impulse and I deeply relate to it. And I also want to name that it's like not actually true. She might never see the new healed part of you, right? She might only ever see the person who blew up at her, or the person who caused her harm, or the person who made her hurt, right? And that doesn't mean that the work that you're doing isn't worth it or important or actually happening. It just means that she's not able to see it. And so I also am concerned that you are sort of like rubbing yourself raw, trying to show like, hey, look how much I changed. Look, I can win you back. I can get your trust back, right? Like I'm a trustworthy person now. And looking to her as the arbiter of whether or not that's true, right? Looking to her to say, if she can trust me, then I will have proven that I am worthy of love, right? That I have come full circle. I have seen my own redemption. And I think that can be beautiful and wonderful sometimes. I'm all into stories of forgiveness and reconciliation. And I think that that's wonderful. And your own path towards this work is not actually dependent on whether or not she sees it or wants you back, right?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes when we conflate those two things, we end up just creating a really unhealthy power structure where you're in a place where you're just trying to convince her that you're trustworthy and she gets to decide, right? And I'm really not trying to like say that she's a bad person in this situation.
Not at
right?
all.
Right? Like I have also been that person where it's like, yeah, I get to decide. Yep. And my own people-pleasing tendencies came out where I was like, I can't tell this person I don't want to date them because I like there's just like so much in it that like gets really messy. And so what I want you to be able to do is to have the space and distance that you need to be able to do this internal work for yourself and then later or in like a separate process decide whether or not this is the person that you want to be with. Because it feels to me like right now those two things are getting conflated, right? Like I want to work on myself and therefore I have to figure out how to be with this person to prove that that work is worth it, to prove that I am doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to say that, you know, you write in your letter about like, you know, should I pull away before I get hurt, you know, or should I stay there so that we have so I keep proving myself to her and whatnot. I guess what I'm concerned about is that I want to make sure that you are not, like Sam said, like you're not grading your success in this season of your life based on whether or not you guys get back together. It feels very entangled right now. And I think that's because of proximity and desire. And those things are okay. Like, it's okay that you want to win her trust back. I get that. What I want you to be able to do is, you know, take stock of what's going on in your life right now, your heart, your feelings, your desires. And I don't want you to self-sacrifice just because you did something wrong. Just because you reached for that, the most available pattern, and you responded in this way that you're not proud of, doesn't mean you need to exist in a relationship that isn't giving you everything that you want to just to like earn her back. You know what I mean? Like, what I want for you, I have two pieces of concrete advice. I changed my mind. I have two. The first one is, I want to invite you to have a conversation with her, which is that goes something like this. Like, you know, I still have very strong feelings for you, and I still am holding hope in my heart that you will trust me again and that we can be together again. I'm inviting you to be vulnerable enough to be honest with her that's still very present in your heart. I'm not sure if you've talked about that or not, but like, you know, I'm existing in this space with you right now, and sharing my healing journey with you because I want to be with you. I understand if you don't want to be with me right now, but I'm not sure if this middle ground, this gray area, is the safest place for me emotionally. As much as I want to be in it to show you how trustworthy I am, what a good partner I am, you know, that you should be with me again. As much as I want to be here, I know it's not the safest, most emotionally mature place for me to be. So with that in mind, would you be interested in trying to date again? If not, I think I need some space from you. You know, like that's the reality of it, right? That's if you're giving, like, just because you fucked up doesn't mean you need to stay in relationship purgatory until she decides what's the best thing for her, right? You can have that hard line and say, I don't want to just be your friend, and it's not emotionally safe or mature of me to hang around trying to earn your trust back if that's never a part of your vision, right? You can have that. It's not meant to come off as like vindictive or even like there's not a conflict here. There's no conflict here. It's just a communication. It's just saying, this is what I'm doing. Are you doing that too? Because if you're not, yeah, it's not a safe place for me to be.
I'm going to be totally honest with that. I was in a similar situation where like somebody I had dated was trying to like win me back. And I was like, oh, we're just friends. And then they said that like almost verbatim to me. And I was like, and then I had to be like, no, like we're not on the same path.
Yes.
And it meant that we had like a split. Like we didn't talk to each other after that, which hurt for sure. Like it was not a fun situation to be in, but like the explicitness of his question,
yes,
made it impossible for me to pretend like we were on the same page anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then I had to be honest and say like, no, that's not what I'm looking for. And he was like, cool, then I can't do this anymore. Right.
Yep.
But it was helpful because what we were doing felt good in a lot of ways, but like wasn't super healthy for either of us.
The two of you didn't have a shared vision. You know,
no, absolutely. And it was, and the explicitness of that question was super helpful because like what was being unsaid was suddenly said, and we couldn't deny it anymore.
I'm so glad you shared that. That's exactly what I was trying to say. It's like, it's just because you fucked up to our letter writer, just because you showed this, this hurt side of you and had this bad reaction, which we are now learning is not the reaction you want to have, right? Like we can be accountable to that moment. And also like, how about this? Let me phrase it this way. You can be accountable to that moment. You can rectify that moment by being more emotionally mature in the future, which is to say to not keep yourself in a situationship that's emotionally unsafe for both of you, right? Like, yeah. So that's my first piece of advice. My second piece of advice is something that I don't think I've ever said on this show. And like, I don't know you. I don't know your life. So please take this as you see fit in your own life and body, because this is just a feeling that I have that I want to say, maybe because of things that I'm thinking about in my life. I'm interested what your relationship to alcohol is and if you would consider a period of sobriety while you're going through this big transition. And again, I don't know you. I don't know your life. I don't know your relationship to alcohol. But because of a couple reasons, I'm saying this for a couple reasons. One, I have been with many people and I have been the person who have my shit together and then I get too drunk or... I'm talking about other people. Partners in the past get too drunk and all of their skills, all of their maturity go out the window when they're drunk. And that's when the shit comes out. And that's when you say that hurtful stuff that you can't take back because you, quote, aren't in control, right? You can't do the reaching that healing and growth requires of you beyond those original patterns that you inherited from childhood. Alcohol makes that harder. And we are fooling ourselves if we, like, we have a very alcohol forward culture, and I'm a drinker, but I'm honestly thinking about quitting drinking because I'm not totally sure what it brings to my life anymore. So I just want to, like, I want to go against our culture a little and be like, you don't have to quit drinking solely because you're an alcoholic. You can quit drinking because you know it doesn't help you stay in alignment with the person that you want to be. And I think I'm also saying this because you mentioned it a couple times. Like you said, you know, the breakups happened in drunk arguments, and then you're still hanging out with this person. You're still drinking the wine. Don't get me wrong. Like, honestly, wine is the number one reason why it's hard. It's hard to think about quitting drinking. So take this in your life as you see fit. This is not a judgment thing. This is just an intuition thing. And my intuition has been wrong 3,000 times.
For sure. But no, I'm glad you said it, because I was also going to say it.
Okay, cool.
I think it's important to, I don't know what's going on in your life hanging in there, or whether this is true. But I also think that, like, just want to name that, like, alcohol does everything that Sierra said, where it reduces our inhibitions and it makes us say things that we wouldn't want to say. And it doesn't mean you have a problem to want to stop drinking because you don't like the way that you show up when you have been, right? Like,
it was the language that the letter writer used about avoiding things. Like, I'm no longer going to avoid the things I've been avoiding, or I'm going to deal with the shit that I've been not wanting to deal with. And you know, the number one fucking thing we do to avoid shit is substances. And there's no judgment in there. Like, I definitely use weed to, like, clock out of my life, to avoid my life, right? But when we're talking about our emotional maturity and our emotional healing journey and all of that, like, I just want to make more space in our culture for, like, alcohol not being right for everyone. Not just people who are addicts or who have a drinking problem. You know, like, you can say no to drinking because you don't like the way it makes your body feel, or you don't like that you don't feel in control of yourself, or whatever.
And also, addiction exists on a spectrum, as all things do, right? That, like, just because our lives aren't falling apart because of our addiction doesn't mean that we're not also dependent on things that aren't actually serving us well.
And now that I think about it too, like, if these two people have this pattern of, like, hanging out and drinking wine, and, like, they're not checking in on the relationship a ton, or, like, I'm totally assuming this, but you know how, like, you know, the pattern of drinking often makes it so that you don't have to have a lot to talk about, or, like, it's a structure for your hangouts. You know what I mean? And you and I are suggesting, like, having that brass tacks conversation of, like, I want to get back together. Do you want to get back together? Or, like, can you trust me one day? Or I see you as more of a friend, and she's, and who knows what we're thinking. I'm wondering if alcohol is, like, making it easier to hang out, or dulling the edges of things, or whatever. Again, I don't know your life. I don't know your body. I don't know your relationship to booze. And I have literally zero judgment. It's just, I've known enough people who, it's like, it's not like they lose control and go, you know, driving drunk or whatever, or, like, the spectrum of addiction. But I know a ton of people whose wounds come out when they're drunk.
Anyway, we got a little bit off topic, but, like, also connected. So, like, I think I think it's important to name it. Cause when I read through your letter, right, like, I think that it's important to notice that, like, the worst things come out when you have been drinking. And I also think that Sierra is right, that at this point, what this sort of situationship needs is some pretty blunt honesty about what your goals and aspirations are for how this situation is going to move forward. And I think that, like, doing that in a sober state also makes it easier to, like, acknowledge the things that maybe are going unspoken and to hear them differently. So all this to say that, like, this is such a tricky situation to be in. You know, I don't envy you for having to figure all of this out. And, you know, let's name that there's a possibility that you say, hey, I'm trying to win back trust with you. And she says, great, I actually would really like that. And things move forward in a way that hopefully builds towards something good. And right, it may also be that you say, hey, I'm trying to rebuild trust with you to begin dating you again. And she says, I don't think that's in the cards for us. And in both instances, at least you know, right? At least you can make a clear-headed and perhaps sober decision about how you want to move forward given what is available to you, what's in front of you. And that can be really helpful in our own healing and in the decisions that we make in terms of how much time, energy, and love we're going to pour into something that either is working or has a future, or something that isn't working and perhaps doesn't have a future.
Yeah. I totally agree. And that was beautifully said. Thank you so much for writing and for trusting us with this letter and for listening from the very beginning to the last couple months. We love you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for writing. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like to get access to our monthly office hours, you can always support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, when you offer your heart and your vulnerability to someone, they can go in two directions, right? They can say, yes, I see you. I want to do this work with you. I have this shared vision with you. Or they can say no and say, you are not the one for me. I have a different understanding and vision for my future. And both are okay. And no matter what, both outcomes still mean that you are a deserving, loving, capable, and valuable person. Despite what you've done, you still deserve love and acceptance. And if all else fails,
just break up.